Berg proudly displayed.
I found a twisty, said Benny, pointing to the screen. And there's the masher. And special soldier's donuts, said Violet. Just what Steve said. The old names from Delilah's are practically the same as the new ones from the donut dispensary.
That might be important evidence, said Henry. We should get a copy of the article.
Jessie asked Ms. Hester to help her print a copy. The children kept searching. A few minutes later, they found another article that looked interesting. A reporter had written about his interview of Fred Berg, Steve's father. At the time of the article, Fred and Delilah still owned the shop.
Listen to this, Jessie said.
She read aloud.
Greenfield News Reporter. Mr. Berg, you and your wife have been in business here for years. You must have made up a lot of your own recipes by now. Fred Berg. Yes, we've both come up with our own special ones. Customers are always eager to find out what new donut will be next. Reporter. Maybe you'll write a cookbook someday. Fred Berg. Oh, no, we won't ever do that. We've decided just to keep our recipes in the family. My wife doesn't even write down her recipes. She's good at keeping them in her head. Reporter. What about you? I'm aware you are in charge of some of the stranger inventions that Delilah's is known for. Do you write them down? Fred Berg. Yes, to tell you the truth, I have to keep my crazy ideas on paper. Otherwise, I won't be able to duplicate them. They're all in a little sugar tin that I call my vault.
Chapter 7. A Night Prowler. The Aldens made a copy of the interview and left the library. They talked on their way back to the shop, where Grandfather would be picking them up. Long shadows on Main Street made the walk a bit strange. Benny tried jumping on his own giant shadow as the children talked. Violet huddled into her jacket.
So, now we know that some of the recipes were written down, she said. It's funny that Steve didn't know his dad was keeping notes all those years.
Jessie nodded.
Steve didn't know about the sugar tin either, she said. It's too bad the shop is closed for the day. I want to find out what Steve and Don think about this news.
I hope they have some ideas about where the tin could be, said Henry.
Jessie tied her scarf on tight.
I hope so, too, she said. I knew people kept lots of food in metal tins a long time ago, but I have no clue what an old sugar tin looks like. For all we know, it's hidden in the shop somewhere. Oh, come here, Benny. I'll tie your scarf.
Thanks, said Benny. I'm all shivery.
Though it was only early evening, it was starting to get dark. The street lights of Greenfield blinked on. An evening breeze made the Aldens walk fast.
Why is there a light in Delilah's?
Asked Benny.
You said it was closed.
The other Aldens looked. The front of the shop was very dark, but a light seemed to be on in the back room.
Maybe Steve and Don are working late, said Jessie. We can tell them about Fred Sugarton.
Jessie tried the door and found that it was unlocked. The Aldens walked into the dark room. They could barely see the outlines of chairs and tables. The bells on the door jingled, startling everyone. Benny grabbed Violet's hand. Sounds of movement came from the back. Jessie led the others forward quietly.
Steve? Don? Henry whispered. We found some information.
The sounds from the back room continued. The children crept closer to the kitchen door. Could it be Steve or Don? Or was it someone else, someone who wasn't supposed to be there? Jessie reached the doorway first and peered inside. She gasped.
What are you doing here?
It was Nathan. He stood at the big center table in the kitchen. Mixing bowls, utensils, and ingredients were on the table. He went pale with surprise.
Wow, you people scared me, he said.
He put down the spoon he was holding and took a deep breath.
It's no big deal. I wasn't doing anything wrong.
The Aldens came into the kitchen.
What do you mean?
Asked Violet.
What are you doing back here?
You must be the person who's stealing Steve's recipes,
said Benny.
We caught you.
Stealing recipes? Said Nathan.
Jessie explained about the copied donuts at the other donut shop.
We know someone's been making the exact same donuts as Delilah's.
Well, it isn't me, said Nathan. That's terrible.
Why would anybody do that?
Nathan pounded the table with his fist.
I'd like to catch whoever stole those recipes myself.
Then why are you here when the shop is closed?
Asked Violet. Nathan sat down on a stool.
Look, he said, I know I don't work here. I'm sorry I made you worry. It's just that no matter how hard I try, I can't remember how to make Steve's chocolate icing. I was trying to remember what to do.
Were you looking for his secret recipe? Asked Jesse.
It's not a secret recipe, said Nathan. It's just a really good one. I wanted to remember it. I tried to make it at the donut dispensary, but my mind went blank every time. I thought if I made the icing in this kitchen again, the recipe might come back to me.
I guess that seems reasonable, said Henry. But did you tell Steve or Dawn you were coming?
Nathan shook his head.
I know it looks weird, but I just couldn't tell them. I didn't think they'd want me in their kitchen anymore.
You must have an extra key, said Benny. That means you did the break-in, doesn't it?
Again, Nathan shook his head.
The truth is that I just walked in tonight.
It's all right, said Henry. Steve told me he'd leave the door open so we wouldn't freeze before Grandfather came to pick us up.
So, you're sure you don't know anything about any written recipes?
Asked Jesse.
There are written recipes? Said Nathan. I can't believe it.
He shook his head again.
If I'd had those when I worked here, my job would have been a whole lot easier. I probably wouldn't have left.
Nathan stood up. I should clean up the kitchen and leave. Steve and Dawn won't be happy knowing I was here. They're probably already mad at me for quitting the way I did.
I don't think they're mad at you, said Jesse, but they're super busy right now. We're helping them out.
Nathan cleaned up. He was quiet while he worked. After he left, the Aldens did too. They made sure the door was locked behind them. Then they sat on the bench in front of Delilah's to wait for Grandfather. Grandfather arrived soon after that. The children were extra happy to be out of the chilly weather. As they rode home, they talked.
I think Nathan's telling the truth, said Violet. He was mad when he heard about the stolen recipes.
Henry nodded slowly.
I think you're right, Violet. And Nathan was so surprised when he heard about the recipes being written down. He really doesn't seem to know anything about that.
But if Nathan's no longer a suspect, said Jesse, there are only two more people on our list, Charlie and Hilda.
That makes it easier, doesn't it?
Asked Benny.
I'm not so sure about that, said Jesse,
closing her notebook. Chapter 8. The Missing Tin.
We've been so busy this week, said Violet. I hope we have time to help Steve and Dawn with redecorating.
The Aldens were walking down Main Street the next morning. It was warm and sunny again, and not too windy.
I'm going to show them my photos of the donut dispensary, Violet continued. I've got some good ideas for paint colors, and maybe some new signs, too.
We've got to find out who's causing all the problems, said Henry. Then we can talk about redecorating.
Maybe it will cheer up Dawn and Steve if they have something else to think about, said Violet. Something that's fun, like new colors.
Maybe, said Jesse.
I really want to tell them about Nathan, and about the sugar tin. Steve might remember the tin and know where it is, or where it was.
Hey!
Shouted Benny.
Did those guys change their sign again?
Benny pointed to the sign in front of the donut dispensary. Someone had erased the name Mashup and written a new name, Smashed Potato Donut.
Wow, said Henry. Whoever copied that donut must have just figured out the name was too much like the masher.
That wasn't very smart of the copycat, said Violet. They should have picked a different name before they advertised the donut, not after.
The children moved on, talking about the name change. When they arrived at Delilah's, Steve was busy with customers, but Dawn greeted them.
We have so much to tell you, said Jessie.
She handed Dawn the articles they had copied in the library. Dawn sat down and read the articles.
A sugar tin, she said. I had no idea. I don't think Steve did either. And all this time, Steve thought his parents both kept their recipes locked up in their own memories.
Only Delilah had hers memorized, not Fred, said Henry.
Dawn put down the articles.
You know,
I think I do remember a fancy old metal tin on a shelf with other knickknacks out here in the front, she said. I never thought of looking inside it. I just dusted it now and then. I always kept those decorative things the way Fred and Delilah had them.
Let's see if it's still there, said Jesse.
Oh, I can climb up and get it, said Benny.
He darted off toward the shelf of knickknacks. I don't think it's there anymore, said Dawn, getting up.
Wait, Benny!
But Benny didn't wait. By the time Dawn and the other children got to him, Benny had dragged a chair over and was hanging onto the shelf.
Come on, Benny, said Henry. You might topple that whole shelf with you under it.
Henry wrapped his arms around his little brother and lifted him away from the shelf.
Is it up there?
Asked Benny when he was down on the ground.
Is it?
No, said Dawn, sighing. I remember now. It was one of the few things we couldn't find after the break-in. I suppose we could look around, though. Dawn and the Aldens began searching everywhere in the back room and the storeroom, but there was no old sugar tin anywhere.
What's this about a tin? Asked Steve from the doorway.
Jesse told Steve about the article.
I am completely dumbfounded, said Steve. How could I have missed seeing my dad write down his recipes?
Your dad probably knew how good you were at memorizing, said Dawn. I'll bet he didn't think you'd ever need the written recipes, so he didn't think he had to show them to you.
He kept them for himself, said Henry, and maybe for anyone else in your family who might need them.
Steve just nodded his head silently. He looked amazed.
But the tin isn't here anymore, said Violet. What can we do?
We can help our customers, said Dawn. I think they're waiting for us. Dawn and Steve left to take care of business. But Violet went back to the hallway to look at an old photo on the wall.
What's going on? Henry asked her.
I've been thinking and thinking, said Violet.
She walked out slowly with the photo in her hands.
Fred wrote down the recipes for himself and his family. You know, to pass on to a family member who might keep the donut shop.
And here's a picture of his family, said Henry. But we already know everyone in that picture.
No, we don't, said Jesse. Not really. What about Steve's little brother, the boy in the picture? He'd be grown up now. What if this grown-up brother knew about the written recipes, said Violet. What if he came here looking for them?
That would explain the break-in, said Henry. The brother could have been looking for papers, even behind the photos on the walls.
I think we're on to something, said Jesse, sitting down at an empty table. I wonder if it's important that Steve seemed so uncomfortable when we asked him about his brother.
It might be, said Henry.
He sat down next to Jesse and took the family photo from Violet.
Fred's brother is Dave C. Berg, he said. We don't know anyone named Dave Berg.
And we only have two people left on our list of suspects, said Jesse. Charlie, the delivery man, and Hilda.
Benny came over and looked at the photo, too.
Charlie starts with a C,
he said.
I see a big C there.
Benny pointed at the caption under the picture. Henry's eyes got big.
Could the C stand for Charlie?
What if it is Charlie? Said Jesse. What if Charlie is Fred's brother?
Charlie, the delivery man, looks like Fred a little, said Benny,
jumping up and down.
They're both really tall and skinny.
But how come Steve never told us? Asked Violet. Why would something like that be a secret?
Let's see if we can find out right now, said Henry.
The Aldens went to the front of the shop. Steve couldn't stop to talk to the Aldens until the morning rush was over, but then he sat down with them.
We've been wondering if Charlie is your brother, Jesse told him. We think he might be.
Wow, said Steve. How on earth did you figure that out?
Violet held up the old photo.
We put the pieces together. We weren't sure about it, which is why we're asking you. She said.
You kids aren't just hard workers, said Steve. You're smart.
He sighed.
Yes, Charlie's my brother. He's the boy in that photo.
But why were you keeping that a secret?
Asked Violet. Steve looked serious.
That's another story, I'm afraid. It's not as happy as the one I first told you.
Steve continued.
My brother left Greenfield a long time ago, when he was quite young. He didn't want to be part of my parents' business. He went to New York to make a name for himself. He wanted to become a success all on his own without any help from his family.
Did he become a success? Asked Jesse.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he did, said Steve. He became well known as a businessman. But it didn't last forever. Last year, Dave, or Charlie, as you know him, his business failed. Everyone knew about it. It was on the news for weeks.
Oh, poor Dave, said Benny. I wouldn't want to be known for something that didn't work.
Steve nodded. I think Dave was really ashamed about how things turned out. About 6 months ago, he called me. He told me he wanted to come back to Greenfield to live, but he needed some favors from me.
Did he want to make donuts after all?
Asked Benny. The favors he asked me for didn't have anything to do with donuts, said Steve. Dave asked me to help him find a job in Greenfield. I have friends who own the local delivery service, so I made a phone call and recommended Dave, and that's how he got the job he has.
But Dave asked for other favors, right? Said Henry.
Steve nodded. He asked Dawn and me to promise not to tell anyone that he was the famous Dave Berg who had failed at his business. No one was supposed to know he was my brother. When he came back to Greenfield, he started using his middle name. He became Charlie Berg, not Dave Berg.
The Aldens sat, thinking about this. Wouldn't people recognize him from before he left town? Asked Jesse.
Well, probably not, said Steve. After Dave left for college, he almost never came back to visit. People change a lot in 30 years.
Do you think Dave, could have known about the sugar tin and the recipes? Asked Henry.
I suppose he might have, said Steve. He was my dad's favorite son, after all, and I was my mom's favorite. I spend more time cooking with my mom, and Dave cooked mostly with my dad.
It sounds like Dave enjoyed making donuts as much as you do, said Violet. I wonder why he didn't want to join you in the donut business.
Steve stared out the window. Dave and I didn't always get along, he said. Before he left for college, he was always trying to compete with me. But we were so far apart in age that he really couldn't ever be the winner. That might be why he felt he had to leave Greenfield. I missed my brother after he left.
You told us you and Dawn really trust your brother, said Jesse. But he might have taken those recipes.
I still trust him, said Steve. I don't believe he would have stolen anything from me. And I don't believe he would have lied either.
But someone took the recipes, said Henry. And someone is using them to make copies of your donuts.
Chapter 9. The Written Proof. After the morning rush, the Aldens met again on the bench.
Now we know there were written recipes, said Jesse, but we still don't know who has the tin. Somehow we'll have to find it. We all looked so carefully in Delilah's,
Violet pointed out.
I don't think it's there.
I've been thinking about that, said Henry. Because the copycat donuts came from the donut dispensary, that should be where we look next.
Violet nodded.
It seems like the right idea, she said.
The Aldens passed the Greenfield police station on their way to the donut dispensary. Officer Washington was just coming down the stone steps on her way out.
Hello there, she said. How are things going?
Jesse showed the officer the article that mentioned the sugar tin.
You children did some good hunting, said Officer Washington. I'd consider this proof that there were written recipes. On the other hand, you don't know for sure that they still exist, or where they might be.
Will you come with us to the donut dispensary? Asked Henry. We were just going to check on an idea we had.
I can do that, she said. I'm on my lunch break, and I can head over there with you right now.
When the children and Officer Washington got inside the crowded shop, they walked toward the back.
"Excuse me,"
said Officer Washington to someone in the kitchen. The Aldens came to the doorway. What they saw surprised them all. Hilda and Charlie stood at a counter in the small kitchen. In front of them was a simple metal box. It was about as big as a loaf of bread. Pieces of paper with handwriting on them were spread out on the counter. The paper was yellowed and curled. Charlie took a step away from the counter when he saw the Aldens and Officer Washington.
"What's going on?" he said. Why are you all here?
Is something the matter, officer?
Asked Hilda.
Why are these children here?
We think something wrong is going on in this shop, said Henry. That's why we brought Officer Washington with us. Jesse, show Hilda the newspaper clippings.
Jesse handed the articles to Hilda.
Is that the sugar tin Steve's dad kept?
Asked Benny, pointing to the metal box.
How do you know about this tin?
Asked Charlie. He sounded angry.
You can read the article, too, said Jesse. It tells about all the recipes your father wrote down. We've been looking for that tin.
And now we found it,
said Violet.
I'm the owner here,
said Hilda. She shook hands with Officer Washington and introduced herself.
I'm confused. What's this about the recipes? Why are they so important, and why do the police need to be involved?
Officer Washington explained, I'm just here to help everyone sort this out. The Aldens have been investigating quite the mystery.
Steve always kept the family recipes secret, said Henry. He didn't want anyone else knowing how to make his dad's donuts.
Jesse continued,
Steve never knew that his dad wrote down the recipes. Then donuts that looked and tasted like his dad's appeared at the donut dispensary. No one could figure out how it happened.
Until we found the article, said Violet. Then we knew that someone had probably stolen the tin and was copying the donuts in this very shop.
They even stole the names of the donuts, almost, said Benny.
Officer Washington shifted from one foot to the other. Ms. Ramirez, can you tell us anything about people making copied donuts in your shop? Hilda held out her hands and shrugged.
Charlie shared these recipes with me, she said. I assumed they were his old recipes. We've made quite a few test batches. We're working together on them. We were planning to add a lot of new donuts to the menu.
And what do you have to say about this? Officer Washington asked Charlie. Charlie carefully picked up the paper recipes and put them in the metal tin. He placed the cover on the tin and held it out to Officer Washington.
It was me, he said.
He looked down at his feet.
I knew the recipes were somewhere at Delilah's, so I went and found them.
But why?
Asked Violet.
You could have made those donuts with Steve.
I didn't want people to know I'm Steve's brother, said Charlie sadly. I didn't want them to know my business had failed and I had come back to town. I thought if I worked with him, people would start to wonder. Plus, Steve and Dawn like to make classic donuts. I didn't think they'd want to work with me.
Charlie sighed and went on. When I first came back to town, I was glad about the new donut shop. Later on, I discovered that Hilda wanted to experiment with new ideas, too. I wanted to work with someone who'd be willing to do that. For the first time, I could see a fresh start for myself. I would carry on my father's donut tradition.
We decided to start with the recipes from the tin and then see what we might want to do next, said Hilda.
I'm sorry.
Hilda hired me to help her, said Charlie. She didn't know the recipes were family secrets. I never thought anyone would realize we were using those old recipes. That's why I didn't try to hide their names. Then later I saw all of you comparing the Twisters and the Twisties. I knew you were suspicious. I asked Hilda to change the name of the mashups.
Charlie looked up at Hilda. Then he looked at Officer Washington.
Maybe I won't be working for anyone now. Maybe I'm in trouble.
Why did you take that empty potato sack from Delilah's? Said Henry. Was that part of trying to copy old recipes too?
Charlie nodded.
I remembered the potato donut recipe for the most part, but I couldn't think of what kind of potato my dad used. I also needed to see the mashers and taste them to make sure I'd made them correctly. It's a pretty tricky recipe to get right.
That's why you broke into the shop, isn't it?
Asked Violet.
You had to get some mashers.
Not exactly, said Charlie.
He looked very unhappy.
I came looking for the recipes. I thought they might even be hidden behind those photos that have been on the wall for so long. I looked everywhere. Then I saw the old tin. And when I saw the mashers, I had to take them. I knew they would help me recreate my dad's recipe.
Officer Washington held onto the sugar tin. I'm going to take this tin back to Delilah's now, she said. I will talk with Dawn and Steve about how they would like to handle this. In the meantime, Ms. Ramirez, please remove all of Charlie's recipes from your menu.
Of course, officer, said Hilda.
Please tell them I'm sorry this has happened. Officer, said Charlie, I'd like to come with you and the children to Delilah's. I think maybe it's time for me to talk to my brother, fair and square.
Back at Delilah's, Steve sat down with Charlie at a corner table. Steve held the sugar tin on his lap. Officer Washington and the Aldens waited across the room. After a while, the two brothers stood up and shook hands.
Are they friends now?
Asked Benny.
Brothers are supposed to be friends, aren't they?
Yes, said Jesse. Brothers should be friends. But I'm not sure if those brothers will be.
Jesse glanced over at the men, who were still talking. After another minute, Steve and Charlie walked toward the Aldens and Officer Washington. Charlie looked relieved. Steve still held the sugar tin.
I won't be taking this matter any further, Melinda, Steve said. Charlie and I have an agreement now. We're going to see how things go for a while.
Charlie smiled nervously.
We're going to try working together, he said.
How cool, said Benny. You'll probably make even more crazy donuts than ever.
Maybe, said Steve. We have to see.
Charlie said,
We realized that we both wanted the same thing, to continue our parents' ways of making and selling donuts. I'd always thought Steve wouldn't agree to try anything new or unusual like our dad used to do. He seemed to want to make only our mother's recipes, but I guess I was wrong.
Steve smiled a little.
I was wrong, too, he said. I shouldn't have been so stubborn about wanting to stick to the old-fashioned donuts. I hardly ever made the newer recipes Dad made up, even the really good ones.
So, said Charlie, we're going to see if we can keep on remembering that we have the same goals, to keep making customers feel welcome at Delilah's.
And if Charlie and I can meet each other halfway, said Steve, then he can work for Delilah's and try new ideas here, too.
That sounds like a fine plan, said Officer Washington. I don't think I'm needed here any longer, but I'll take my usual cup of coffee to go.
Coming right up, said Dawn, who had joined the group.
I think we'd better get our aprons back on, said Violet. It's almost time for the afternoon crowd to come.
Sure, said Steve. But first, I'm putting this tin away, where only we can find it.
He patted Charlie on the back, and both of them smiled. Chapter 10, A New Old Shop. 2 weeks later, on a Saturday, there was great excitement at the Alden home. The whole family was going to town for a special event. Violet was extra eager to get to Greenfield. Grandfather smiled down at her.
I know you didn't do every bit of the plan, he said, but you did come up with the best ideas. I'm very proud of you.
Violet beamed. She'd brushed her hair and checked her outfit in the mirror more than once. She was wearing jeans and her favorite purple sweater.
We haven't seen the finished product, she told her grandfather. I'm super excited to see how everything looks all together.
Benny came hopping down the stairs to the front hallway.
Where are our aprons?
He asked.
We have to have them, and they have to be clean and neat.
Henry and Jesse laughed as they came down the stairs behind Benny.
This might be the first time I've heard Benny insist on something being clean and neat, said Jesse.
Well, they are important items for the celebration after all, said Henry.
Don't worry, Benny, said Jesse. I have the aprons in my backpack. They've been washed and ironed.
Benny looked relieved.
I sure wouldn't want to look messy, he said.
Everyone laughed. Benny had never minded looking messy before. As the Aldens drove to Greenfield, Benny said,
There's a big surprise just for us. Dawn said so.
He bounced up and down in his seat.
We know, Benny, said Henry. She also said we'd be surprised to see who's working at Delilah's now.
I just can't wait to see how all of our ideas turned out, said Violet. It was kind of hard to go back to school this week. I kept thinking about what the final touches would look like. I wonder what kind of party there's going to be, said Jesse. It's nice and warm today, so I think it will be outside.
I know something about it, said Benny.
What's that? Asked Jesse.
There will be plenty of donuts,
Benny sang as he bounced.
Surprises and donuts, surprises and donuts. We all love surprises and donuts.
Grandfather and the children laughed.
Mr. Alden parked the car around the corner from Delilah's. Benny wanted to race ahead, but Mr. Alden turned to talk to the children.
"This is a big day for all of you," he told them. "Not only did you help redecorate Delilah's, but you solved an important mystery for the shop. You've made some people very happy. You helped bring two brothers together, too."
He hugged each of his grandchildren.
"And now, let's celebrate."
The Aldens could hear the sounds of people laughing and talking before they came around the corner. The first thing they saw, though, were the balloons. Blue, green, and white balloons were tied with ribbon to the newly painted bench out front, to new planters on either side of the bench, to the front door, and even to the waste bin and the streetlight in front of Delilah's. Children marched around, eating donuts and wearing blue and green party hats. Adults chatted, sipped coffee, and nibbled on donuts. Everyone seemed to be smiling.
"I see Officer Washington," cried Benny.
He waved to her.
"Congratulations," said the officer.
She came over and introduced herself to Mr. Alden.
"This is a good day to celebrate the beautiful new shop," she said. "I hear you children had a lot to do with that."
"We just did some of the painting last weekend," said Henry. "And we gave Dawn and Steve some ideas. They did the rest."
"It's not really a new shop, is it?" asked Jesse. "At least, I hope it hasn't changed too much."
"Go and see," said Officer Washington. "I won't hold you up."
The Aldens went into Delilah's.
"It's so much brighter," said Violet. "Look, the pictures are up again."
Delilah's had had a makeover. Gone was the flowered wallpaper. In its place were two cream-colored walls and two bright blue walls. Along the edges of the walls was a stripe of pale green trim. The posters and photos looked wonderful against the newly painted walls. Gone, too, were the curtains. The windows were bright and shiny. Sleek blinds were there to keep out the sun when needed. The wooden trim and the counter had all been sanded and polished smooth. From the ceiling hung bright, globe-shaped light fixtures.
"Aldens!" called Dawn.
She was wearing a blue apron now. It was the same shade as the walls, and the same shade as the aprons the Alden children had.
"What do you think of our shop now?" asked Dawn.
"It's great," said Jessie. "I love the matching aprons. Does Steve have a blue one, too?"
Dawn nodded. Steve, wearing his blue apron, was just coming out from the kitchen with a new tray of donuts. And right behind him came two more people, also wearing blue aprons.
"Nathan!"
called Jessie.
"And Charlie, too," said Henry.
Charlie smiled as he approached. "I never did get used to people calling me that name. I've decided I like going by Dave better."
"But aren't you afraid people will know about your old business?"
Benny whispered. "Oh, that's old news. I've got a new business I'm proud to be a part of."
Dave put his hand on his brother's shoulder.
"And now we've got all the help we could need," said Steve. "I lured Nathan back to Delilah's, too."
Nathan blushed a little.
"It was easy. Steve's gonna let me keep a notebook while I'm learning. No more sneaking in at night to practice."
"You all look like a team now," said Jessie. "We should put on our aprons, too."
Jessie pulled the children's aprons from her bag and handed them to her siblings.
"We'd make a great picture," said Dawn, looking around at all of Delilah's workers.
"A real photo opportunity,"
said Violet, holding up her camera.
"Why don't we go outside? We could stand under the new sign. We didn't get a good look at it when we got here."
"Not yet," said Steve. "You haven't gotten your big surprise, Aldens."
Steve made the children wait at one of the tables. He went back to the kitchen and came out with a baking tray.
"Presenting the Alden,"
said Steve, putting the tray down in front of Benny, whose eyes grew. On the tray were rectangular donuts covered with pale green icing and blue and white sprinkles.
"You children get the first taste," said Dawn.
Violet took a picture of the tray first.
"They match the new decor," she said. "Everyone should get the first taste."
Benny, Violet, Jessie, and Henry each took a donut. Then Grandfather, Steve, Dawn, Dave, and Nathan took theirs. There was quiet munching for a few seconds.
"Ooh," said Benny. "I'm glad there are more. These are amazing."
"There's something special in this donut," said Henry. I don't know what it is.
We can't tell you, said Nathan. It's a secret ingredient, but if you keep tasting, you might figure it out yourself.
Everyone laughed.
Can we take our picture now?
Asked Violet.
Sure, said Steve. In fact, I think the Greenfield News team has arrived. They can take our picture for the paper.
Wow, said Benny. We'll be famous.
Back outside, the first person to greet Delilah's team was Hilda Ramirez. She hugged Dawn and shook hands with everyone.
You folks look great, and the shop does too. I really love your sign.
The children stepped back from the door. Above it was a big new sign made out of polished wood and shiny metal.
Delilah's Donut Shop, read Benny.
A man with a camera came up to the group.
Are these all the helpers?
They sure are, said Steve.
Well, everyone face me and we'll take some photos for the paper. Say, apple fritter.
When the party was over, Steve and Dawn let the Aldens take home the rest of their special donuts. There would be more batches coming soon to Delilah's. In the car, Benny looked into the paper bag of donuts. He'd promised to wait until after dinner to have his.
Why are you looking so hard at those donuts? Asked Violet. I can't believe you want to eat more already, do you?
I'm thinking, said Benny. These donuts are the same shape as a boxcar.
That's true, said Violet slowly.
She looked into the bag Benny was holding.
I'm getting ideas for redecorating our clubhouse.
Thanks, Benny. You're welcome, said Benny. Donuts make everyone think better, don't they?
We hope you've enjoyed The Donut Whodunit, an Oasis audio production. Text copyright 2018 by Albert Whitman & Company. Production copyright 2018 by Oasis Audio, under arrangement with Albert Whitman & Company. Oasis audio titles are available wherever audiobooks are sold and on our website, oasisaudio.com.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.